Thanks so much for joining us again. Gary and Bonnie Pregandy are in the studio with me again, and we finished the last broadcast just watching how the Lord provided paramedics for Bonnie just as she was beginning to have a stroke, and God just showed himself strong on your behalf there, Bonnie. But Gary, we were talking about what God was doing in your heart and life.
Yes.
When you found out you were going to be a dad.
Mm.
Was that a shock to you?
Yes, absolutely. That was quite a shock when it was a son. We were close as a family, and my dad was the dad, but I didn't want to be that kind of dad that my dad was.
Okay.
I loved
okay.
him.
Yeah.
But it was like not real close, which is probably what his dad was.
Sure, yeah.
Because his dad passed away before I even knew him when I was my dad was probably 14,
right.
15
right.
when his dad passed away. So maybe he didn't have that how to be a dad.
Yeah, especially during the teenage years.
Yes, yeah. And so I got my, from other Christian dads, in the church. The church is, as Bonnie was saying, with going to the deacons and being anointed with oil,
yeah.
that is part of the church's responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that's something, another reason, church membership has always been important. Because
exactly.
you got a bunch of other like-minded believers all working to help one another
mm-hmm,
in all
mm-hmm.
kinds of different areas. And that was such an encouragement to me. Because the church I was growing up with, maybe they did these same things at the Lutheran church, but, you know, it was good. It was a close-knit church. But this was really, really working with you
right.
to make you better, to
right.
to show you God's love and how his grace works. But through these things, being a father and learning different things, you're to teach your children as a verse. Teach your children as they walk and as they're growing up and the things that you do. And so I wanted to do that. We got involved in Child Evangelism Fellowship. And we
right,
were way out
right.
in the country from our house. You could not see another house. And I go, well, okay, I don't know.
How do you have Child Evangelism
yeah,
when you can't
with
find
no
kids?
Children? But as it turned out, when the kids were growing up out there, there was other children that, you know, when you got children screaming,
yeah.
other
yeah.
children would come around even out in the country. And
right.
so there was over 27 children in the area that would come to our CEF classes once a week.
Yeah.
And sometimes, because it was a spread out area, the parents would stay.
Oh, okay.
And hear the gospel.
Oh, wow. In your home.
In our home, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. And that was for 2 or 3 years, and we'd do it in the church in the summer. We would have a week that we would have a adult
right.
thing and
right.
5-day clubs and,
mm-hmm.
and things
mm-hmm.
like that. And so every one of them children that came to our CEF class over the probably 5 or 6 years that we did this came to know Christ as their Savior.
Every one of the 27.
Every one of the 27
wow.
had a profession of faith. And we pray for them. They're all older now.
Oh, yeah.
But the surprising thing was sometimes this one time, a dad raised his hand at the invitation.
A dad?
A dad did. And so we talked to him a little bit, but nothing about anything. And so we told our pastor, and our pastor called this dad up and went and ministered to him and his wife accepted the
oh,
Lord.
Oh, my.
But the pastor came and kind of scolded us a little bit. He says, you know, it's the same gospel, whether they're 8 or 38.
Yeah.
It's the
yeah.
same gospel. They're a sinner.
Mm-hmm.
And he recognized that he was a sinner.
Yeah.
He recognized that Jesus was his Savior. And that's exactly what we tell
right.
the children.
To the children,
and that,
sure.
And that God would never leave him once you accept Christ
oh,
as your Savior.
Wow. Yeah.
And that was just funny, but also pretty exciting, too, as well,
yeah.
that happened. So we did these things, and then as the years went on, we would take summer vacations, and we'd go around to different communities at different houses and do these CEF. We would do 4 or 5 in the summertime sometimes. And it was good for our kids because it showed them that Christ wants you to do more than just accept him.
Exactly.
Once you accept him, you got to be sharing that gospel with as many people that want to hear it.
And they're able to share Christ with you.
Yes.
Sharing Christ, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah. And so it was a good learning experience. Part of our homeschooling things that we homeschooled for
yeah.
quite a few years, and the one month we were studying about going before the deacon, which was when my daughter got sick with the appendicitis,
mm-hmm.
was that same month.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it was a little bit more of a life lesson than what I would put people through.
Sure.
But it was good for them. It was good for me. And it turned out really good by the grace of God that it wasn't their time. Or the same thing with Bonnie's stroke. It wasn't her time to go yet. Mm-hmm. But he wanted to show how. And he does that all the time throughout my life. He's shown himself merciful.
Yeah.
In so many areas.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, when Bonnie, whether it be your stroke or your kidney functions, and that kidney diagnosis and prognosis was, what, 42 years ago, something like that?
1972.
Yeah, and this is 2014.
I didn't mention that. It's probably been about 12 years ago now that I went for a routine checkup, and my doctor called me up at home on the phone, and she said, your kidneys are acting up again, so I want you to see a nephrologist.
Okay.
So I've been seeing him for, it's probably about 12 years now, and what he is doing is he's maintaining my kidney function so that when I'm in my 70s and 80s and 90s, if God doesn't take me home, that I will still have functioning kidneys. So I am in stage one kidney failure, but we do things to maintain them.
How many stages are there?
Four.
Okay.
I think he said four.
Yeah.
So.
And, of course, now it's 2010 when this happened, and they got a whole lot of different tests now that they didn't have back in 72.
Sure, exactly.
And so maybe in 72, if they had the same test they had now, there would be no Michael and Rebecca.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And every time you think about that, your heart just gets filled with gratitude.
Right. Amen.
And that was a good experience to write the book, whether it ever gets published or not, because it's a reflection on how God has worked in your life. But it's also a testimony, if Jesus doesn't come back in my lifetime and I'm taken home and I have grandchildren and great-grandchildren, to read what God has done.
Oh, yeah. In fact, many, many times I feel like the older we get, we need to be thinking about the future generations more, you know, and what kind of testimony are we going to be sharing, leaving with them? What kind of legacy are we going to have for the name of Christ?
Yes.
And leaving things for our children, our grandchildren to read, what an awesome ministry we can have. Mm-hmm. So whether it's writing a book or just writing things out that are key lessons that we've learned about the Lord that our grandchildren can read. I know my mom and dad are both with the Lord, but I have my mom's Bible. And what a blessing just to be able to open it up when I'm studying for something. That will be one of the Bibles I open up, you know. And she would many, many times write in the outlines of messages that she would hear preached. And this word means this and that, you know. And it's just kind of like your mom left you a letter, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, son, now be careful about this and watch out for that. And, oh, be sure to add this, you know, and right there in her Bible.
Right. And it's from somebody that you know.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. And you know where she is.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not initially for that reason, but I have three wide margin Bibles that I've been using since I was in college. And so when I die, I have three sons. And each one of the sons will get one of those wide margin Bibles with all my notes and the meanings of all these words that I've discovered, you know, and just my lines from verse to verse, you know. And so I trust that those will be blessings to the boys and their children and maybe the grandchildren, that kind of a thing. And, you know, so many times we don't consider how important our walk with God is until it's too late and we can't write or we can't speak. And so while we're talking, Gary and Bonnie, we can be encouraging the folks who are listening to us this morning is to begin to journal.
Yeah.
To begin to write some, it doesn't have to be long notes, but just maybe short notes to your children and your grandchildren. Mm-hmm. And I know I wrote a note to my oldest grandson and sent it to him. And next thing I knew, his mother had put it on Facebook, and she said, look what Granddaddy has sent to Bailey, you know, and there was my handwritten note on Facebook, and I thought, wow, You know, it didn't take me that long to write that, but how valued that note was. And so we obviously can be encouraging folks to do the same thing.
And parents, give your children your testimony.
Oh, that's the truth. Yeah, because, you know, with my folks gone, there are a lot of things you'd like to ask them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my mom and dad were saved. They were writing letters back and forth. He was in Germany, and she was in Wisconsin, and they were reading the same chapter of the Bible. I wish I had asked my mom, what book were you reading in the Bible? You know, I wish I had asked, what chapter of the Bible were you reading when God convicted you about dating an unsaved man and you decided to get right with God?
Mm-hmm.
And the same chapter God used to convict my dad that he needed to get saved.
Mm.
And he got saved the next day. Wouldn't it be neat to know what chapter that was?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so if you're listening to us this morning, write those kind of things down. Things that will be a blessing to your children or grandchildren in the days to come. Just recognizing that as we tell our stories about our experiences with God, that's the thing that the people in the book of Judges didn't have. You know, it said when Joshua and his generation were dead, then the people did that which was right in their own eyes. And that's a shocking statement, isn't it? You know, and so we need to be just kind of continuing the ministry that God has given us and that he's doing in our own lives through written testimony, verbal testimony, and whatever we can do now. I know cassette tapes are out of style. And I don't know if you can make a CD. You probably can, you know, just talking into a microphone, but leaving those kinds of testimonies just as who God is, what God is doing. Well, we've run out of time, so thank you guys so much for just the blessing of hearing just the special things that God has done in your life and what he's taught you to trust him, depend upon him, and it's still going on, isn't it?
Yes,
the saga
absolutely.
Continues.
Yes.
You know, and
couple of grandkids, yes.
Look forward to just being able to continue to see how God works in your home, your family, and through your ministry to reach boys and girls and men and women for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, let God do the same thing in your home. Let him use your home. Let him use your testimony at work or wherever you are. That when the trumpet sounds and the Lord returns, we will be busy about his work, sharing Christ with one last soul. Till the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.